You're listening to The Write Process, a podcast in which one writer tells the story of completing one work from concept to completion. I'm your host, Charlie Jensen.
Hi, I'm Kiana Taylor, and I wrote The Conduit.
Kiana Taylor got her break into the television industry as a staff writer on the Apple Plus hit workplace comedy Mythic Quest. There she penned Breaking Brad, starring Snoop Doggy Dogg. Next, she got the absolute privilege of working as a story editor in the longest-running live-action comedy of our time, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Writing on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, she co-wrote The Gang Makes Lethal Weapon 7, the third in The Gang's trilogy of remakes of the 1987 American buddy cop action comedy franchise. In 2020, Kiana teamed up with Rob McElhenney and sold her first show to FX, titled MeWe, an anthology that gives you a snapshot into the lives of Americans killed by systemic racism. Kiana is also chief creative officer at Adam. Adam, spelled A-D-I-M, is a community of storytellers, fans, and friends working together to create and own the next generation of content. They facilitate the next generation of storytelling, utilizing technology to enhance characters and track creator ownership. Adam hopes to allow all dreamers to create faster, engage with their creations more, and interact with that of others on a global scale. At Adam, she helped bring to life some of Adam's original characters in their first round of creator rooms and is always available to their community for advice and all things creative.
For years, years and years, I wanted to be a writer. My mom and my grandma live across the street from each other. And in crossing the street, I have like this clear shot of the Hollywood sign. And I grew up my whole life there. So I'm always like, I'm going to get there. I'm going to write. I'm the only child. So all I did was watch a lot of TV. And I was around older people. So it was like, I watched the stories, daytime soaps and all that with my nanny all day. TV was a big part of my life. Hollywood sign is in sight. So I know I'm going to get there and that's going to be what I do. Years later, I find out it is not that easy. Like, you don't just like sign up like you do at McDonald's to get a job and say, I want to work here. There are doors and gatekeepers and all of that. So it took me a long time to get here. And I was so excited when I found the UCLA Writers Extension Program, because between my childhood dream and actually pursuing this career seriously, I didn't see how. Like, I had already went to school, got a master's in clinical psychology. I was a teacher. I loved the kids, but I still wanted to write. And I find UCLA Writers Program like, oh my God, I can go to UCLA and get that education. If I just do this program, you get a certificate. It's a 2-year. And I'm like, I'm doing this, right? The school that I taught is a private school, Wildwood Private School, K through 12 school where I taught second grade. Once a year, the teachers get up and kind of talk about themselves, their passions and dreams and whatnot. And I'm up there and I'm talking about myself. And this particular school has people from the industry in there. And at the end of this meeting, Rob McElhenney, one of the parents there, he's the creator and showrunner for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Mythic Quest. He's the only one left in the room. My grandma and my mom in the back because they came to watch me do my presentation. He's standing there and he's like, so you did this UCLA thing? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so you're a writer and you write comedy? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, why would you never tell me this? And I'm like, well, because that's part of the rules. You can't go, you know, pitching. You're at work. You can't go pitching and saying, hey, this is my dream and all that. But fast forward, I'm in his backyard and he says, look, I talked to, you know, the principal of the school and you got these three options. You can either take all your days off once a week and come to my writer's room in Mythic Quest and, you know, observe, or you can take 2 weeks off and come observe the writer room, or you can stop working now and just join my Mythic Quest writer room full time. I was like, I'm going, right? This is my chance. I am out of here. I love the kids. I love your kid is in the room. David Hornsby had a kid in the room who's also a EP on Mythic Quest. I'm like, peace out to your kids. I love them, but I got to go chase this dream down. I go into the Mythic Quest writer's room. My first day was December 2nd, 2019. we're in production and he's letting me come and shadow and everything. So I'm there, I'm in production, and I get a call. We're going to shut down the school because COVID was really kicking up at the time. And I go, I tell Rob, I'm like, they about to shut down the school. And fast forward, he shuts down the production. You know, it's just going to be 2 weeks. Then we're going to come back. Everything will be fine. We know that didn't happen. But during the shutdown, George Floyd happens, right? And all the protests and all this stuff. And an idea I had come up with about a show was to tell the life stories of people who had died from any form of systemic racism. Never to tell the police killed this man or the hospital made this lady die. Just to give you a glimpse into their lives and then just move on. I dug it up from my files, you know, because as a writer, you always got to be writing. So I dug it up. I sent it to Rob and he calls me back like 2 weeks later, like, you showed your first show. And I'm like, what? My mind's blown. I went from a staff writer to a showrunner in a matter of months. And that's because, you know, timing, and more than timing, it was that I had took these UCLA classes, this Writers Extension program. And I was ready. I was prepared when everything lined up. So being ready whenever your time happens is the most important thing, because I could have had nothing to give that man when he asked me. Rob, of course, is impressed with how quickly I scaled up. He knew me all that time and I got in, and I go from here to the other end of the spectrum in an industry that it seemed like I felt like I was locked out of. He's golfing with a friend of his one day, and his son has an idea for this tech company. All he knew was he wanted to do something with NFTs and entertainment. Rob noodles on it. He talks to Chase, and they come up with this revolutionary company called the Atomverse. The Atomverse, what we're trying to do is to keep writers from being locked out, to give them a clear path to get yourself prepared, you learn the skills you need, and this is how you get your stuff into the world, right? That's what they set out to do. And they asked me to run a writer's room. What that looked like was we put a call out. Anybody in the world could apply, no matter what your skill level is in writing, what your experience is in writing. And all you had to do was answer one question. Who is your favorite character and why? Our main objective was to come away with a script that would introduce four characters to the world. We got 1,500 submissions. We picked 100. And from those 100, we broke them down into groups of 25. Four different writers' rooms. One writer's room was led by me and a partner, Jordan. And then the other three writers' rooms were led by other people who work with Rob on Sunny and Mythic Quest. We got these group of people, non-traditional writers. They were from Iceland. People worked in finance, engineers, accountants, grandmas. I had a grandmother in my room. Just people who heard about it and applied and wanted to be writers and said, screw it, I'm going to shoot my shot, right? They got in, and now we're in the writer's room. So it was 5 week long. We met on Saturdays for about 2 hours. We ran all the rooms through Zoom. Rob gave us the freedom to run the rooms the way we wanted to run them. I had a very clear plan for how I wanted to start, you know, going off the characteristics. And then everything else I pulled from my experience as just being a staff writer, right? I knew I had to do the beats first. So I had to them come up with as a group with the beats, and then I had to do an outline and then do the scripts and go through several iterations of that. I just took the basic things that I took away from a staff room. But sometimes, you know, with a group of 25, you can be pulled into 25 different directions. So in the moment, you know, you have a goal for the end of the day, like we need to solidify who the characters are. And you know, you have to do that, but you got to kind of let the room flow the way that it flows naturally, because you get so much material and good information. And there's a lot of bonding that goes on when you just let the people talk. In like the Sunny room and in the Mythic Quest room, a lot of the stuff, real things that happen to people end up episodes. So we have all these people, different skill levels. Our parameters was we were going to come out of this room with one character. one fully developed character. You know how Ryan Reynolds, he did the short about Deadpool, like this was a character that wasn't really being serviced in the Marvel universe? That's where the idea came from. Let's get in these groups and create a character and introduce this character to the world. Once you're in a group, a room, a writer's room, right? You all have an equal percentage or ownership to these characters that come out of the room. That's what the NFT and blockchain does, and what makes this possible, because we can have contracts with the man in Iceland, with the grandmother in Compton, be all on the same page in agreement with this contract and this proof and this NFT that you are part of creating this character. That's how the writing got started. We also had the guardrails of knowing that they had to have a connection to Earth so that all the characters could, down the line, we thought, operate in the same place. It was the real world plus, and the plus meaning they can have creatures or what have you from another dimension, but with the link to the real world. So I asked everybody, you know, so what's your favorite character and why? Tell me what you wrote in your first question. So everybody talked about it. And while they were talking about it, I started writing down what those traits were that stuck out for them, their favorite traits. And by the end of that session, we had this long list of character traits, like quick-witted, loser, dreamer, fish out of water. Jordan and I was like, okay, what do we do with all of these traits? Let's string them together, like groups of three or four character threads together. We made this list of just a random mashup of these character traits. For the next session, we had the people vote up their top four character traits. The top four were a mediocre, humorous Dark Lord, the whimsical, self-aware, traumatized, quick-witted monster, a trickster, intelligent, unpredictable, speaking truth to power, loser, dreamer. I mean, look, this is from people just voting them up, and we just had to take what they gave us, right? And a rebellious, witty, underdog crusader. So these were the top four that people loved. Remember, we were only supposed to come away with one, but you can't tell a story with one character. The character who had the most votes was Regan, this whimsical, self-aware, traumatized, quick-witted monster. So we asked, whose combination was that? Like, everybody loves this whimsical monster. Who came up with that? And this lady said that, you know, it came from her own experiences. This character was based a lot off of herself and like trauma she experienced in life and how it made her like kind of a closed off or introverted person. I believe she was an artist. And so we made that whimsical monster an artist and we named her Regan. And that's where we started for our protagonist. Our antagonist, we named Gideon. And he's the rebellious, witty, underdog crusader character. And then we had two supporting characters. And we chose these just based on the number of votes that these traits got. And then we had the mediocre, humorous Dark Lord. We named her Gaara. And then we had the trickster, loser, unpredictable dreamer type character. And we named him Lev. So Lev and Gaara are from the plus. They are like creatures from beyond. And Gideon and Regan are humans on planet Earth. And then we broke them up into groups and asked them to go dive deeper into these characters. Tell us their backstories, what makes them tick, you know, come up with like a character Bible for these characters that they felt attached to. They went off, I think, a week, and then some of them decided to like meet up, you know, asynchronously offline and come up with stuff. And then they came back and they would pitch out stories about their characters. People came up with some interesting backstories. Gaara, at one point, she was constantly having babies out of her navel, but down the line, we had to dial that back. That costs a lot of money to have something constantly just CGI-ing it all the time. Working with new writers, a lot of things had to be willed in, grounded, I'll say, because people will come out with such broad things that were just something that I wasn't able to shape and deal with at the time. And those were tricky moments where you have to be like, yeah, that's a great idea. What's next? You know? What else do we have? You don't want to make somebody close up. You want people to feel comfortable and free to share. So while somebody pitches something that you know you can't work with, there's always that really awkward silence when you just don't know how to respond to something that somebody says, where you're just like, that's interesting, and just hope that somebody else jumps in and fill that silence. As a group, we came up with a loose outline. I like to use a whiteboard. I did my two lines for dividing act one, act two, act three. I knew at the end, all the characters would be there, but I thought it was great to start out with just Regan at first. She would be sitting at a restaurant. Something will provoke a traumatic event, and then at the end, there will be another character come through from her. People were free to set out on their own and figure out, why is she at this restaurant? What brought her here? If she's a person who stays to herself, what would make her come out to this restaurant this particular day? And then the second question to be answered would be, what sets her off? What makes her have one of these traumatic events that will bring forth in there the character? What would this character be who comes forth, and how would that character act when they're brought forth? That was like the beats that they had to come out with to shape their story. And again, these are people who aren't traditionally trained on their own to come back within a week's time. The groups are meeting on Saturday for 2 hours. Keep in mind, everybody's on different time zones. So we made that work. And so it was easier for them with their smaller groups to work asynchronously offline, come up with their scripts and bring them back to be presented. We read them and one script was chosen. And that's where my real work began. That's the editing process. And that's the process that I struggle with. I really want to show that this process can work. Number one is because I was all these people. I know what it feels like to have this dream and really want to see it realized and not want to give up on myself and say, you know, well, I'll just be this. Now, people have really cool jobs, like engineering, physicists, and all this stuff. Like, but you know, you never want to give up on what you know is down there burning inside you. So we really wanted to make this work. We had this script and it was already in good shape. People came back with some really, really good stuff. What was hard for me was when you're given notes, you don't want to change too much what the first person set out to do, because you don't want to make them feel like, oh, this isn't a good idea. Because I know that, because I know that's how I feel. When you get a script back and it's like, wait, this is not what I started out with, it's tough. I wanted to make sure I always honored the idea of the larger group while also making it something that was workable and producible. And it was fun. And the motivation of, you know, just wanting to see that we could come up with something that is a group that large that could work. I mean, that's a writer's room of 25 people. That was a challenge for me. It was a fun challenge. So because this was my first time, you know, running a room and it was 25 people, I needed a second. And so I chose Jordan Benefield, who is a student from Wildwood that I knew was very smart. Jordan and I had a week to get something polished and we had to nail it down to 9 pages and it was 12 pages. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that's hard work to do. So took us a week and then we had to present it to Rob. We pitched it out to Rob and those other groups that had gone off those other 75 people. They had to do the same thing and pitch their stories, you know, champion for their script. We had gone back and forth with Rob on notes maybe twice, but even after that, we had to go through notes with the director, Will Grope, who's a very, very talented guy. And so I had never gotten notes from a director before. And because he's first an artist, he storyboarded the whole thing out. And so I got to see each scene or shot that he pictured drawn out, like the script drawn out on all these little squares. And that was so cool to me, because remember, I'm still pretty green at this. And that allowed me to see the story in a new way. Those notes came in and I loved his notes because Number one, I could tie it directly to a picture, and they were like bulleted, and they were kind of loose notes, and budget was in mind when getting those notes. So it kind of reshaped the story a bit, right? Because you can see it, and because you're working within more constraints, but it streamlined it beautifully. But this process, I mean, it's only 9 pages, and it went from June to December. I thought it was done then, but 2 weeks ago, I got more notes. I just turned that in. With what they're doing here at Adam, it's moving fast, and people are going to see their work realized, and it's very beautiful. Once we have all these shorts finished, Rob takes them out and can sell these shorts and these characters to, you know, studios, right? And when that happens, all those people that were in those groups, whatever comes out of that, they all share ownership of the characters that come out of this room. The grandmother in Compton could tell her grandson that, yeah, I helped make the new Spider-Man. She gets a piece of the t-shirts that get sold, the lunch boxes, or what have you. It's a great opportunity all around. So glad to be a part of it. The Conduin is an amazing script, and Will is going to make it even better. I was the only one who had actual experience going through this process. And that's what's cool about Adam, because afterwards, the script that we chose to move up and to rewrite, now those two people who wrote that script, they became showrunners of the next room of characters to develop. And that's how, you know, me and Rob and the other people will be pushed out, because the community can upvote each other to become showrunners. Like, oh, this person contributed, this person had cool ideas. They vote up the next showrunners to the next rooms for the new characters to be created. And that's how we'll scale up and just become this funnel for creators to keep going, keep moving, get closer to the dream. Stepping in the showrunner role with these new writers, it was scary and exciting, because here I am in this showrunner position. And do I know all the right answers? No. The whole point of this thing is that everybody has a story to tell. Everybody is creative. And I don't want to be out here telling people, you know, no, that's not right. Yes, this is right. You know, that's not the spirit of the whole thing. I think being a teacher, especially of second graders, was the perfect background I needed. Number one, because we're all just children anyway. And number two, being able to speak in front of a crowd and teach and lead. While I was like, in the back of my mind, I had this feeling of, I'm not doing my dream. This was setting me up to be able to maintain it. Being a teacher was a great experience. If I were to compare a traditional professional Hollywood writer's room to a room in the Atomverse where there are just people who have a dream who come in from different various backgrounds for the first time, I would say that Atomverse room, they're going to come up with fresh, hot topics, new things. I think that room is free of any fear or judginess, or am I going to get my next gig if I say the wrong thing? As long as you can create an environment where people are feel comfortable speaking up and sharing, people are just free to flow. They came in just like professional writers, with firing off ideas, not being afraid to speak up and fight for their way that they see it. While they weren't traditionally trained as a writer, I found that does not stifle your ideas. The ideas are still there. They're fresh. They're unique. They give you a lot to work with. They were just pitching. It worked out really well. I mean, I can't wait for the world to see what we came up with, what the other rooms came up with. It will blow your mind. Everybody's a writer. The experiment proved everybody is creative. Everybody can do this if given the opportunity. So my advice to anybody who has a dream of writing is start it. There is a clear path for you now that has been paved. You go, you take your classes at UCLA Extension, and then you can go over to Atomverse, atomverse.com, Atomverse.com. Join a group, become a showrunner in 8 weeks. It look, if they're UCLA extension students, I'll get them in there. That's my alma mater. Get your stuff made. There's no excuse for anybody to not chase this dream down now. You can do it. Everybody can do it. This dream is more attainable than it ever has been before.
The Right Process is hosted and curated by me, Charlie Jensen. This season was produced by Jamie Moss. The Writers Program offers courses, certificates, and services that help writers achieve their writing goals one page at a time. For more information, visit writers.uclaextension.edu.